Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our post-game content. We are now about to review, as a part of our Mario theme, the almost perfect, brilliant piece that is Super Mario World on the SNES.
Almost perfect. There are no fewer than four Mario adventures that could easily be listed within the lexicon of the greatest games ever made, and this is one of the four.
Yes, agreed. It's my personal favorite of all the Mario games.
What?
Period. That includes the 3D ones, even though I love all of them. Yeah, I picked this one over three, and I know you guys are not necessarily going to agree with that, but this is my favorite.
I think the proper answer is three.
I think, well, yeah.
World is better in every respect.
You know what? Actually, it's funny, because I prefer part three, as everyone knows who listens to this podcast on a weekly basis. I raved about that game a couple of weeks back. Love that game. But the thing is, and I'm going to start raving about this game in a minute, but I will start off with the bads. The thing about Super Mario World is I think it's a bit lacking, because even Miyamoto himself told the world that he felt that they didn't do enough with the game to separate it and distinguish it from the previous game, Super Mario 3. And he was specifically referring to the level design, and they just didn't do enough.
Yeah, and I know he wanted to put more emotion in the game as well, which he said they didn't have time to do.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did. Oh, I did want to do a callback, because you guys were discussing this, whether or not Mario and the princess were romantically involved, Princess Peach. And at the end of Super Mario World is your proof, because she does kiss him, and there's a little heart firework that goes off in the background.
Yeah, so but she kisses him on the cheek, and
there's the heart fireworks. That applies their mates for life.
I can't see on screen. I can't wait to program the Luigi show. All right, it's gonna happen soon. But back to Super Mario.
That will not do it for our show.
That's it. So we will see.
The thing about Super Mario World is that it helped define the 16-bit era. I mean, this is the first game release for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and it took classic Mario formula and put it into something bigger, brighter, and some would argue better. I could understand, Patrick, why you think it's better, but tell us why.
Okay, so every aspect, I love the stages are longer. Sometimes in Mario 3, I felt like they were just a little too bite-sized. I think that it offers much more styles of play. Look, if you're having a problem with something, you can many times use the cape and breeze through a stage if you're just not good enough to do this. However, if you want to take on and do it the proper way, then you can jump. And they were smart enough to include, they knew what you were going to do with the cape, and they built some stages so that you could not just blast right through them. They put obstacles right in the way. Yeah. Anticipating that players would be doing this. It was so colorful, and that's the thing. What an introduction to the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. It was amazing looking. It looked like a cartoon. Everything, Yoshi, you have the whole gameplay mechanic of using Yoshi, the spin jump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these things. It had everything that was great about Super Mario 3, and it just built on that and amplified it, I thought.
You know what's funny?
Definitely one of the defining games for Mario, I think. It really defined the rest of the series, and that's why I respect this game so much.
Oh, so do I. I love this game. Love it.
It also threw in more humor than previous Mario games. Like, this is when we started to get Mario started to be funny.
Yeah, it felt more like Paper Mario, almost.
Yeah, with the little castle scenes after you would beat one of the Koopa kids. There were little funny things, like, the you know, Mario would do the dynamite in the first one, it would blow the castle up, but the next one it wouldn't be exactly the same, and eventually there's a point where he hits the dynamite switch, but the castle doesn't blow up, and he blows up. Yeah,
that's my favorite cutscene. I actually played the game 2 weeks ago. I finished it again, and I had so much fun playing this game, like, once again, but that was my favorite moment, when the castle doesn't blow up. Yeah, it was a total, like, Charlie Chaplin moment. And, you know, I read this great article on Wired, like, a while back, and it was kind of a knock on the Wii U, but the person, to be fair, the person who wrote the article was a big fan of Nintendo, but the article was about how Super Mario World, this game we're talking about, is the best game released on the Wii U so far, because he's talking about the fact that they released it on the Virtual Console, right? Mm-hmm. And he said it's even better than the games that they're releasing nowadays on any system. And he says this game stood the test of time, and I totally agree with him. And in terms of the look of the game, I think this stands up as one of the best-looking games on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. it's still, yeah, after all of these years, so pleasing to the eyes. Like, I love the look of this game. It's so colorful. The overhead map is completely different than the map from the previous game because it has so much character, so much charm, so much, yeah, detail. It feels like a world, whereas the last map kind of felt like it was just like a maze and or a way
to board game or a something.
Board game. Mm-hmm. Perfect example, board game, right? But the animations here are cute. There's a variety of characters, and thing is, they actually kind of wanted to make this game way back during the NES days, but they just didn't have the technology, specifically the special effect known as Mode 7. Mm-hmm. So right. With Mode 7, it allowed for 3D background layers, I think, and it just allowed them to enhance the sprites, and it just allowed them to make the sprites bigger without losing resolution. And it also allowed for them to have a character like Yoshi and Mario, and Mario being able to ride this dinosaur, because the plan from day one was Miyamoto wanted Mario to ride like some sort of like motorcycle end or something, and he, for whatever reason, because he is, has, and I say this as a compliment, as strange as he is, he decided he needed to ride a dinosaur. It's like, what else would he ride, you know?
He's a plumber. That's what they do.
Plumbers ride dinosaurs. And so he wanted the plumber to ride a dinosaur way back in the NES days, but the NES just couldn't handle it, so he had to wait until the Super Nintendo Entertainment System to actually make the game that he wanted to make. But the idea of him riding Yoshi has been in the pages of his sketchbooks from years before they ever released the Nintendo Entertainment System.
And I think when you think back to Nintendo World, I know personally, that's the first thing I think about, is like, this is where I think the player really gets attached to Yoshi for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, he had his own game in the NES era, but his appearance in this game is the best thing in the whole world. You get an egg and you're like, oh, what's in this egg? What am I going to do with this? And out comes Yoshi, and then you're like, okay, what do I do with Yoshi? Oh, holy cow, I'm going to ride on top of this dinosaur and eat things.
Yeah, I'm just going to start eating everything.
And it's right away, too.
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. This is actually the first official game with Yoshi, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yoshi was it? Yeah.
But it is surprising how much Yoshi you do get before attached to him.
No, there was characters that looked somewhat similar to Yoshi, I believe, but this is the introduction to the world of Yoshi, to Yoshi, the friendly dinosaur who we all love, who swallows enemies whole, spits them out. This is the Yoshi that we all know. It's his first appearance.
That's right. I didn't catch what Tim said there. Yeah, this is definitely the first.
For some reason, I thought his Yoshi title, which is just like a puzzle game, came out first.
There was an NES Yoshi game, but it was after Super Mario World was released.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I thought this was his second appearance. My B.
Yeah. But
sorry, Yoshi.
But you're right. I mean, just adding a character like Yoshi into the mix just changes things up, and that's why a lot of people do think that this is the best Mario game. For me personally, the problem is, as much as I love Yoshi in this game, and I would try my best to get Yoshi and play with him as much as I could, but I just found it a lot easier to just finish the stages with just Mario. Like, Yoshi would always just run away, and I'd have to go run after him and grab him. Like, I'd be like, where are you going, dude? Like, where are you
going? Needed him sometimes, though. Or, like, you needed to sacrifice Yoshi's life in order to get a few of those exit zones.
Yeah.
There was no other way to get to him than by jumping off his back and letting him fall into the abyss.
Poor Yoshi.
And I always felt bad every time, but, you know.
Yeah. Which just tells you how strong their characters are, honestly, when your dinosaur runs off, Yoshi's taken off, and you're like, no, I need you. Like, mm-hmm. We're best friends. Stay with me. It's like that scene in Batman Begins when Batman's like, stay with me. Like, exactly how I feel when Yoshi starts running off. I'm like, no, don't. I need you.
The thing about Super Mario 3, and Aaron, I actually want your opinion on this, because one of the things that I completely forgot about when I revisited Super Mario 3 a few weeks ago, we reviewed it, was the amount of powers that Mario has, like all of these different suits. So which game would you prefer? Like, which game do you think wins out in terms of, like, his abilities?
In terms of abilities, Super Mario 3.
Okay, yeah, that's what I agree.
Because you had the super leaf, you had the Tanuki suit, you had the frog suit, you had the hammer suit, and in Super Mario World, you had the leaf. You had the cape, and then you had the flower, I think.
Fire flower, yeah.
Yeah, the fire flower.
Here you have the fire flower and the cape.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Now, Yoshi's kind of like a little a superpower because, of course, there are different colored Yoshis and they all do different things.
Right. Some of them fly.
One of the best parts of the entire game is being like, what? There's more than one Yoshi?
Yeah.
And like trying, like, I know to this day people that debate which Yoshi is the coolest.
Oh, it's Blue Yoshi. Yeah, there really isn't.
Like, Blue Yoshi is the best.
Blue Yoshi is the best.
Hello, I totally agree. We're all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah, like Blue Yoshi. That's why I'm going to go get that amiibo.
Yeah, me too! Amazing.
Okay, but we don't have time for our amiibo minute, so... Keep going.
But also, just in terms of like the level design, like I'm not knocking this game when I say it's not as good as Super Mario Bros. 3. I just remember, and when I say remember, I mean I just finished both games recently. Super Mario Bros. 3 to me just felt like the levels were bigger, and I felt like I can revisit those levels and find new things each and every single time. The thing about this game is it actually forces you to complete the levels twice, but with that said, I found a lot of levels to be extremely short, and I would run through it without any problems. I wouldn't die. I wouldn't even get, like, you know, I wouldn't even shrink. And maybe it's because I think this game's a lot easier than the Super Mario Bros. 3 also.
I'll agree with you there. It is easier.
Yeah. Extremely welcoming, and I think that they wanted a wider audience with this game. Mm-hmm. And I think that the colors, all the different Yoshis and all of his different colors, is just such a fun, welcome environment that I can't blame them for making it easier when you see that and you just want to be a part of it immediately.
Right.
I agree.
And, you know, it does have the special world. The special world levels can get a little challenging when you get up there.
What do you mean, the star levels? Or
the
like
star was how?
No, the special world, which was the after the star level, after you beat the game or whatever. Or after you've completed all the star map, you get that warp to the special world.
Right, yeah. But I think that's for advanced players, right? I mean, every single Mario game's like that. Like, anyone can play any Mario game and enjoy it and possibly beat the game. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to, like, complete it, like, be a completist, like, you have to be an experienced gamer.
Yeah.
3D World is impossible unless you're an amazing player.
Oh, my God, no. 3D World is, you know how I did it? I did it with me and my nephew. You need more than one person to finish that game.
Oh, my. You beat that last stage?
The last level.
My God.
Guys, you need...
I will bow down to you right now as a superior Mario player.
Actually, our games editor, Mike Werby, is the one to finish it first, and I thought he was crazy. I'm like, there's no way you can beat it. And he's like, I beat it. And I was like, and that just gave me the confidence to beat it. I'm like, well, if he can beat it, I can beat it. But I beat it with my nephew. There's specific levels in that game that I just needed one or two more people in order to finish it. So it's actually me and my two nephews. We finished the whole entire game. Love that game. But anyways, back to Super Mario World, the original for Super Nintendo Entertainment System. The difficulty wasn't too hard. You can also get one-ups very easily by earning 100 coins, hitting the goalpost minigame with the matching titles, right? How else can you get one-ups? There was like the two pink fruits.
That's right. Yep. There was something to do with the Yoshis. Wasn't there something to do with them that would get you one-ups?
If you collect the 5 dragon coins.
You're right. I think if you collect the coins, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yep. The 5 Yoshi coins. Yep.
Mm. Yeah, you would get an extra life. Yeah. So I don't know. I think this game is still fun to play. I think it stands the test of time, and that's what I argue each and every single week. For me, if a game stands the test of time, it's a masterpiece. I think this game's a masterpiece. And it's funny because this game was released at the same time as Sonic the Hedgehog, right? This is when Super Nintendo Entertainment System was battling with the Sega Genesis. It was the 16-bit era, the console wars. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, it's like, both games are really good, but I just always thought that this game kicked Sonic's ass. Like, Sonic was faster, and Mario was sort of like a little slower, I guess, in terms of the pace, but I still thought it ran pretty fast. Like, the pacing in this game is pretty fast. Like, I didn't think it was like playing, I don't know, like Ice Climbers back in the day. It's not that slow moving. Like, I just never understood why people thought it was slow moving. I'm like, okay, sure, it's not as fast as Sonic, but it's not a slow game. Like, you guys are crazy.
That was all marketing, and fanboys are just going along with it. I remember kids debating over that. They're really not that far off, but it was good marketing on Sega's part.
Sorry to my brother, who's an enormous Sonic fan, but I just feel like this game is so much more advanced and so much more intricate in almost every single way. Like, Sonic, you get from point A to B as fast as you can.
Basically that was the premise. It was a speed run.
And then this game, like, we've already talked about infinite ways to get one-ups and all the little things that you can collect and the challenges, the different ways to play, all of the abilities, the Yoshis of multiple colors, which blew my mind as a kid.
So secrets and alternate pathways. You can really get to Bowser really fast if you just take the Star Road right off the bat.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. You want to actually enjoy the game.
Yeah, because there's so much good stuff. So many different environments.
Aaron, aren't you like a huge Sonic fan? Like, what do you think? What's better, Sonic? And honestly, like, you know, do you think Sonic?
You know what? I'm indifferent to both. I absolutely each one of these characters presented something that I like. Sonic had Super Sonic, which I always found cool, and then Mario had the plenty superpowers. I had for me it was like there was really no competition for me because I both love these characters. For me, I just love good solid video games. So.
You know what's weird is, okay, I am a huge, huge fan of horror films. I've always been since I've been a kid, and I first rented like Dead Alive and Evil Dead at the video store when I wasn't technically supposed to because I was too young. But anyways, and the thing about this game, what really sold me was when you get to the first haunted house. To me, that's like, those are the levels I remember the most, the haunted house levels, like the ghost houses. Love the ghost houses.
Yeah, there was always that panic when you realized that you had no idea how to get out of this place and you kept going to those false endings.
Yo, why do you think I like Luigi so much? Luigi's Mansion. Seriously. Love that game. It's one of my
There with you. Which is why the GameCube needed to be on the top five, if not for Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion alone.
That's why the 3DS needed to be on the top five, because Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon was better than the first one, even.
Well, maybe Nintendo should stop making so many great consoles so we can actually decide on the top five.
And Nintendo, if you're listening, make Luigi's Mansion on the Wii U.
Oh, please. Yes. So yeah, I agree. It's without a doubt on the top four Super Mario games, and I would say I would put it on the list of like the 100 greatest video games ever made. So it's an amazing game,
Yeah, and I think that Ricky and I aren't doing it service because we're so nostalgically attached to Super Mario 3.
Yeah, but Tim, I did recently play both games and finish both games. So nostalgia aside, I'm basing on how much fun I had playing the games within the past, like, say, 90 days. I think that Super Mario 3 has a slight edge over this game in terms of, like, quality, in terms of, like, difficulty, in terms of, like, just being there.
Content too, right? Because you had a lot more to do in Super Mario 3 as opposed to Super Mario World.
I
think it all boils down to, for me, expectation, and Super Mario 3 just blew it out of the water. And World does raise the ante a little bit and creates a really, really fun, inviting game that was honestly a lot more approachable for a young gamer like myself. It was a lot easier to play, but I don't think I was ever, like, outside of when you got each and every Yoshi, the cape just felt like the Tanuki suit part two. And it just never... I know, it's so iconic now. That's terrible to say. But nothing.
Mastering that cape, that was a revelation when you realized that you could just keep going with that thing.
Yeah, but I don't think anything will ever beat the revelation of taking off with the Tanuki. Like,
no, that's true. That was a bigger moment, yeah.
And that sticks in your mind forever.
It'll be interesting come September when we actually get to review each and every single one of the games in the core series and actually decide which one is our favorite, because we are going back and we are replaying every single one of these games. And right now for me, Super Mario 3 is my favorite, but I do know that, you know, coming up next week, we're going to be doing Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Adventure. We have the N64 game coming up and so on and so forth. So,
which you will respect, Ricky.
How could you not respect Super Mario 64?
Just wait for the episode.
Listen,
okay.
Back to that episode.
Last week we were rating consoles, not the games released on the consoles.
Another episode you called it ugly. There we go. You said it didn't hold up because it was ugly.
And you know what? You know what?
Really? I think that game is one of the few Nintendo 64 games that still looks good.
Guys, I've been waiting until we get to the actual show about this, but you're going to spoil it for everyone. I think my nephew said, and I think he's right, I think it has to do with the options that I chose for my Wii U to my TV that I didn't choose the proper options, and that is why the game looks weird. Because, you know, you can choose...
It can look really bad.
Right. And so the thing is, when I went back and played Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, 3, and it's Super Mario World, the game looks amazing. Like, it looks amazing. But I think what happened was when I played the 64 version, I downloaded the day they released it on the Wii U Virtual Console not too long ago. I think that the dimensions and the specs and the quality, whatever you call it, the pixels, was too high quality for that game. Mm-hmm. So I need to go back and adjust it. So anyways, we'll get to that eventually in a few weeks. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
all right.
I think in the meantime, go play Super Mario World.
Yeah. Just go play Super Mario.
As we already mentioned, it's available on the Wii U Virtual Console. You have no excuse. And if you don't have a Wii U, go buy one.
If you don't have a Wii U, why are you listening to this show? If you don't have a Wii U, go buy the Wii U. And I promise we'll eventually get to reviewing some games for the 3DS, but right now we're focusing on, like, you know, some Wii U games because Wii U needs the love right now.
Yeah. And it completes all of the industry right now. You can buy a PlayStation or you can buy an Xbox, but you don't have the full industry experience unless you get the Wii U. No lie.
That's true.
All right. I think that'll about do it for our show. Patrick Murphy, thank you so much for joining us again. Thank you so much for listening. We love your feedback, and we love that you guys are out there joining us in our passion for this crazy fun company. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.
Like to see you again in your office early next week.